morning. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society, where we strive to be open-hearted, open-minded. We welcome you, no matter your ethnicity, the color of your skin, your gender identity, your sexual orientation. You are welcome here, and you are certainly welcome no matter where you are on this journey of life, the religious journey, the spiritual journey, whatever word you want to use there. If it is one of your first times, we always encourage you to come back for more than one service, because our services are different on every Sunday morning. Sometimes I do the service. I am Sandy Ingham, Prairie's consulting minister. I am the mere presider today. That is my title today. The presenter is Dawn Hazlett, one of our program committee members. Sometimes people from outside our congregation do the services also. And I want to begin with a correction to the order of service. The title says, "Do you know the principles?" Well, most of you in this room do know what we're talking about when we say the principles. But the program committee wants this year to focus on the sources, and we would bet money that many of you don't even know that we have sources from which we draw. So I find this to be a very interesting mistake. I will take part responsibility for it, but not complete responsibility for it.
So what is the title?
Do you know the, well, I was gonna let her say it, but
do you know the sources?
Because she's going to follow up on what I just said. So patience, always have patience. The opening words are these. For most of us, our faith did not choose us. We chose it. I should say for most of us in this room. Born Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, or into a secular or mixed household, when it came time for us to affiliate with a religious institution, we sought one that fit our own thinking, not one that imposed its thinking on us. Jesse, would you please light the chalice? Thank you. We hallow this time together by kindling the lamp of our heritage. Now I turn it over to Dawn.
With pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning.
Contrary to what was printed, the question I have today is, do you know the sources? A traveler couldn't find the local Unitarian Universalist Church. After looking in the center of town, in the suburbs, and out of the surrounding countryside, the traveler asked a farmer, "Am I too far out for the Union Church?" The farmer's reply, "Nobody's too far out." Well, if Unitarian Universalism is a non-creedal faith, what do we believe? Is it just anything goes? Is nothing too far out? A few questions cause us as much discomfort as what to say when asked what you use believe. After all, we don't all believe the same thing. But even as we vehemently reject any creed, we seem to be forever searching for some verbal formula about which all, or at least most of us, can say, "Yes, that's what I more or less believe." So as you use, we acknowledge the seven principles. Two more than the five pillars of Islam, three more than Buddha's four noble truths, and three less than the Ten Commandments. We display these principles in our worship space. We teach the rainbow path to our children. But did you know that in companionship with the principles, we as Unitarian Universalists also affirm and promote six sources? They appear next to the principles at the beginning of both our hymnal and the supplement singing the journey. The songs are arranged by the sources, which I put. At our program committee meeting, well, the last one, we were arguing about how many sources there were until we discovered that the older editions of the hymnal reflect the five sources at the time it was printed. And the new editions have six sources to reflect the edition in 1995. You may want to check your... That's right. You may want to check your hymnal and see what edition you have. And then keep that page handy so you'll have the text of the sources as I go through them a little later. Reverend Jason Shelton, music director of First Unitarian Universalist Church of Nashville, wrote a sonata about the sources in 2005. He said, "We have this marvelous statement about theological diversity in the sources, but it largely gets ignored. Most of our folks can talk about the principles in glowing terms, but the statement about what we believe is a statement about diversity, and that's the sources." I was raised in Evangelical United Brethren, which became United Methodist, but I've been a UU for over 20 years. When Sandy mentioned the sources at a program committee meeting, I didn't know what she was talking about. Sandy was aghast. How did I not know? Well, we don't really discuss them. We don't seem to discuss that our living tradition is based on history and tradition that springs from a multitude of places, cultures, and experiences. To remedy this lack of knowledge, the program committee has decided to use our sources as a framework for programs this year, similar to how we discussed each of the principles through programs last year. So what are the sources, and how do we come to make them part of our faith? Now for a little history. This is paraphrased from the UUA website. In 1960, the Unitarians and Universalists were trying to merge. It was a contentious process. They wanted to develop a statement of purpose for the new organization consolidating the Universalist Church of America and the American Unitarian Association. The statement's precise wording had been a matter of such heated debate it nearly derailed the merger. The contention revolved around whether to include such phrases as love to God and love to man, and a reference to our Judeo-Christian heritage. A compromise version, including a critical change from our heritage to the heritage, was finally hammered out. Since then, the sources have been woven into the fabric of our denominational life. By 1981, the original statement no longer fit our needs. The language is rife with sexism, and there was way too much controversy over how much we were a Christian denomination. You should read the original statement. I did. It seems very archaic even for 1960. In 1981, work began on developing a new statement for our faith. The principles were written and divided from the building blocks of our faith, the sources. The new document passed the General Assembly with only one dissenting vote in 1984. It passed with wide support and was adopted in 1985. It was amended in 1995 to add a sixth source, and it will be up for review again in 2020. I want to provide an overview of the sources. This is meant to be an introduction, not an exhaustive discussion. I want to share with you what I learned in researching these foundations of our faith. The first one, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. First one is a big one. It asks each of us to examine the experiences of our life and to think about what sustains us. What gets you through the miracles and tragedies that we all experience? This is what the transcendentalists were trying to get to. They believed that you don't need a preacher to tell you what to believe or feel. Each of us has that power within ourselves. Emerson spoke of this transcendence when he said, "It's not what we believe, but the universal impulse to believe. That's the principal fact." Dr. Albert Schweitzer said, "Sometimes our light goes out, but is blown back into flame by an encounter with another human being. Each of us owes the deepest thanks to those who have rekindled this inner light. Our beloved community is one resource that can sustain us. The second source, words and deeds of prophetic men and women, which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. The second source calls to mind so many brave women and men who have challenged us to make this a better world. These are the visionaries who call us to action. The list is long, and I'm sure your list would be very different from mine. I think of Margaret Sanger, who pushed the conventions and laws of her time to help poor women who could not afford another baby. She had a vision of women being able to make their own choices about family planning. Still a challenge today. Susan B. Anthony saw a future where women had the right, to participate in our democracy. Martin Luther King Jr. dreamt of a world with equal justice for all and an end to discrimination and war. He said, "I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unnamed, unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word." We need that vision really badly right now. The third source, wisdom from the world's religions, which inspires us in our ethical and spiritual life. As we listen to sermons and programs at Prairie, we can trace many back to the wisdom of world religions. We recently had a program on Islamic art, and the wisdom of the Buddha is always there to guide us. He said, "No one saves us but ourselves. No one can and no one may. We ourselves must walk the path." This becomes for us the principle of free and responsible search for truth and meaning. This source is one of the things that drew me to becoming a UU. I wanted to learn what other religions and philosophies could teach me. I remember the first RE class I taught. It was called Holidays and Holy Days. And Daniel was in it. And I learned about Ramadan, Purim, Diwali, Rosh Hashanah. That was great. This is what I believe Channing was referring to when he said, our inclusive church. The fourth source directs us to Jewish and Christian religions. Sandy recently talked about Yom Kippur and helped us appreciate that meditative time of year, which focuses on forgiveness and renewal. Sometimes we shy away from this source because so many of us are recovering Christians. It's true. But Jesus' teachings have much to tell us about how we should treat others in the world. We should reclaim these messages. They don't belong to anyone. I will never regret my early grounding in Christian stories and Bible study. Those parables taught me ethics, forgiveness, and the power of unconditional love. A personal knowledge of actual Christian beliefs serves me well when I examine the words and actions of those who call themselves Christians, but I hear something different. We should all know more about the Torah and the Gospels. Number five. Are we still there? Everybody okay? Yeah. Humanist teachings which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science and warn us against idolatries of the mind and spirit. To think about this source, I went back to an original document, the First Humanist Manifesto from 1933. It states, "The goal of humanism is a free and universal society in which people voluntarily and intelligently cooperate for the common good." That's pretty great. It goes even further to say, man is at last becoming aware that he alone is responsible for the realizations of the world of his dreams. Wow. I was like, wow. These ideas are part of our tradition. This source affirms and promotes the inclusion of secular ideas. It affirms UUs are indeed a diverse community of both the religious and those who are not. That's another reason I'm a UU. I want to belong to a community that accepts Christians, Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, and agnostics, and atheists. The Humanist Manifesto has been revised twice, and the third was issued in 2003. The third Humanist Manifesto professes that knowledge of the world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. Science is the best method for determining this knowledge, as well as for solving problems. So our source statement asks us to seek the counsel of reason and the rigorous testing of science. Back to the Enlightenment, visionaries sought to challenge the conventions of both religion and science. Science guided Priestley in his search for oxygen, and he also opposed, not very successfully, conventional religion. I am so proud that Unitarian Universalists like facts. Unlike current trends, UUs believe that science is real and not just someone's belief. Our ranks would be rather slim if UUs did not embrace the desire for application of reason on our quest for truth and social justice. The sixth source, added in 1995, is spiritual teachings of Earth-centered traditions which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. This source recognizes the power of Earth-centered traditions and how we can relate to this spirituality. UUs include the interdependent web in the principles, and so we can look to Native American wisdom to teach us how to live in harmony with nature and strive to protect our Mother Earth. According to Allison Stormwolf and Pat Wilson in their article, Native American Wisdom and Philosophy, Native American wisdom is deep, profound, simple, and true. It has passed the test of time. The wisdom of their elders is very pertinent to the times in which we are living. In the words of Black Elk, of the Ogallala Sioux, which many of you have probably heard. The first piece, which is the most important, is that which comes within the souls of people when they realize their relationship, their oneness with the universe and all its powers. And when they realize that at the center of the universe dwells the Great Spirit, and that this center is really everywhere. It is within each of us. Louise Erdrich, the wonderful novelist from Minnesota, wrote a moving piece for the Atlantic Monthly last December about being at the pipeline protest at Standing Rock. Sandy, turn me on to this. In it, she gets to the very heart of Earth-centered spirituality. She said, "Besides frostbite, what did people take away from here?" This was probably the first time many non-Native people had been on a reservation or in the presence of Native ceremonies. That's a positive. The more people understand that Native Americans have their own religious rituals and objects of veneration, which too many non-Native people see simply as features of the landscape, the better. Understanding the natural world as more than just a resource for energy, or a recreational opportunity, or even a food resource, gives moral weight to the effort to contain catastrophic climate change. Imagine if energy transfer partners planned to drill underneath Jerusalem. Of course, the company wouldn't consider such a route. Yet it would be safer than drilling beneath the Missouri River. These are our sources and why they're an important foundation to our faith. These are the tenets on which we continue to build our living faith. Rosemary Bray McNabb said very well in her essay in the Unitarian Universalist Pocket Guide, Unitarian Universalism is a non-creedal faith. Whether you revere God, goddess, nature, the human spirit, or something holy that you have no name for. Unitarian Universalism is woven from many threads, many cultures, and many philosophies. We choose not to limit our resources, but to expand them to include all of human experience. I've shared with you what I learned, and the program committee will be planning programs to discuss the sources throughout the year. At the beginning, I told you about a farmer who is directing a traveler in search of a Unitarian Universalist community. The farmer's right. You use a pretty far out, huh? Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dawn.
Sure. As Dawn said, we will be continuing throughout the year. Dawn picked these closing words, and they're wonderful. And they're brief. The journey is the joy. The companions are the comfort. The work is the faith. Go in peace. Hang in there. Come back to this community. We'll work hard the next 4 years. Greet your neighbor.